Hello and welcome. This is Home Life for Extraordinary Impact. My name is Matt Barrios. I will get to be your host today as we explore global perspectives on home in order to help people have a really great home life. What does it take to, you know, set up everything from your space to your rhythms of life to, you know, nurture relationships out of your home? This is all the kind of stuff that I get to explore through this project. And you get to witness some of the raw, in-the-moment research that I'm doing, talking with guests around the world who have unique, interesting angles on home. Today, I'm like having like a really special guest because today I get to interview Thelbit, who is actually, you know, my sister-in-law, which is just so fun to get to connect. You know, when you get something off the ground, like you start tapping into some of the people that you know. And luckily, I've been able to interact with a ton of people who I have zero context for, their random internet connections. But today I get to talk with somebody, you know, who's family for me. And I'm just so thankful we're both in-laws to siblings, you know, like, and we're kind of in-laws to the same family. And it's a really fun opportunity to talk with Thelbit, who is a physician living in Seattle, also has just had a child in the last year. And so kind of figuring out the whole transition into family life and the new territory there. So Thelbit, thank you so much for bringing just yourself, your perspective, your angle on home, what that's looked like for you. And maybe just to kick things off, what are some of those things that are part about your home, part of your home that might be unique angles that you bring, things that you care about or invested in things, unique things that you do? What comes to mind?
I love that question. First of all, obviously, thank you for having me on. I'm so excited to be a part of this. And yeah, just having a new baby, you kind of have to be creative in what you do, even if it takes just a few moments out of your day. I love creative writing and journaling. I'm sure you'll appreciate this. And sometimes I don't really have time to always do that. So I've actually started a gratitude practice every day. And I was actually inspired by the Microsoft CEO, Satya Nadella. He was a guest on one of my favorite podcasts, Hello Monday. And he just talked about how first thing in the morning when he gets out of bed, when his feet touches the ground, he just takes a few moments to reflect on what he's grateful for. And I heard this podcast like a few months ago, and it just stuck with me, and I've been really consistent in this. And every morning before I get out of bed, I kind of like know it's coming, and then my feet touch the ground and I reflect, and it helps to really set my intention for the day. And this morning I was grateful because I had a few moments to actually nurse my baby before work, and that doesn't always happen. Yeah. And it's just a really bonding time. And I've only been back at work for a month, so I really cherish those moments after being home for 6 months with her. So anyway, yeah, it was really lovely to get to do that.
That does sound really like a helpful practice to get your head in the right mindset to go and take on the rest of your day. Especially that little nurturing time with, you know, my niece. You know, I just love hearing about that. I'm also hearing some birds in the background. Yeah. You're currently at your home in Seattle.
Yeah.
Would you tell us a little bit about like your place, your home, your neighborhood?
Yeah.
What is that place like?
Absolutely. Yep. You're hearing the birds chirping.
Beautiful. Love it.
Thank you. Yeah, I love our home. We live in a 1920s craftsman home on the south side of Seattle. And we have a really, like, our whole front yard is a garden space. And so the birds kind of fly in and out, hummingbirds and blue jays and kind of all the shebang come in and visit us. And it's really fun because my daughter really loves, like, all of it. That's and great. She's just like, you know, the birds coming and she kind of, they're too fast for her, but she reaches out and tries to, you know. But no, it's just really calm and peaceful. And, I have espalier apple trees and blackberries and olive, we have an olive tree and some rosemary and thyme. And, I'm just really excited actually to get, my daughter out in the garden this year. Yeah, because she's, you know, becoming a little bit more mobile and just interested in things. So, but yeah, I'm on my front porch right now, just talking to you.
I love it. And gosh, I know that front porch, and it is a wonderful place.
It is.
And yeah, and your garden is beautiful. So I love it. It just makes me want to go back up and visit you all as soon as possible.
Yep.
I wasn't expecting, I don't usually have this interaction with guests on this podcast, but you know, that is where my head's at now. It's just like, oh, I just want to hang out with you guys.
Uh-huh.
So we'll make that happen sooner than later. Now back to the topic at hand. So, okay, so you've got these rituals of gratitude at home. You've got this beautiful craftsman home built in the 1920s, garden out in the front.
Mm-hmm.
You live there with, you know, your daughter who's under one, your husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about your home and when it's going, like, really well, mm-hmm. like, what's the feel or temperature, you know, like the mood and so on of the space? What does it look like when it's going well?
Yeah, I think I joked and said that it feels like sunshine. and that was really, because obviously Seattle gets a lot of rain. And in the last couple of weeks, like, things have just really exploded. Like, spring is here and the weather is nice and the sun is out. And we get like the 3 to 4 months a year where, you know, people say hi to you on the street.
Oh my God.
Because everyone's happy because they're getting their, you know, vitamin D. you know, so it feels like that, though. It feels like I'm in sync with kind of, you know, there's kind of this. When you see the blossoms, you see kind of the perennials coming out. It's a thing that happens every year, and no one tells, you know, things to start blooming. They just know that it's time to do so.
Yeah.
And so I feel that sense when I'm like, when my home life is going well, it's just kind of like, no one's telling me, you know, that like this needs to be done or this needs to be done. It's just kind of just happening, and I feel good about it, and I'm in sync with my husband, and we're having dinner together and, you know, taking time to connect that way and sitting down to eat or having picnics. Like, we live right by the lake, and so a big thing that we love to do when the weather's nice is to go have picnics by the lake and have dinner by the lake. And you've been at our home when we float. Just spending time, like, you know, on the water in the simplest ways, like putting your $20 floaty out there, you know? but just kind of having that space to connect. Even though, like, you know, we do that on the Sunday, and then our day, like, our week starts back the next day with, mm-hmm. you know, clinic and work. But we just kind of press this pause. And so just making that space is kind of how, when I think about my home life being in sync, or I guess feeling great, is finding that time and feeling like I can enjoy those moments with my husband and with my community and my family here in Seattle.
Yeah, that's great. you know, like the picture of sunshine and, you know, even comparing it to the way things come into bloom, and it's all feels so natural. Mm-hmm. It sounds like, you know, mm-hmm. when things are working, you're not having, you don't have to work for it
exactly.
as much, right? Like things are in harmony or something like that. And yeah, I just love that. I think that definitely rings true to me. Yeah, I can super relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to jump on a point that you've mentioned on. You're like vitamin D. You're like calling attention to these like things because you are a doctor, right? Like this is the sort of stuff that you think about. It's like, oh, people's vitamin D levels are higher, therefore they're more friendly, right? And you're mentioning clinic and stuff. So what would you say are some of the connections that you see between your home and your profession as a doctor?
Absolutely. I think obviously they're so interconnected, and I think people feel that way about whatever they do. I feel like my home is such a grounding and centering place. So I am quite relational. But I think, you know, folks who might meet me initially might think I'm a little bit reserved. But I do think that my home, in terms of creating a space where I can come back to myself, where I can be reflective, where I can kind of recharge so that I feel like I can present that authentic self to my families and my patients. Because that's really why I do what I do in terms of my profession. I love that I get to build relationships. That's a very important tenet of my job, in addition to the kind of rigor of you know, being a clinician and thinking about the body and kind of, you know, all the things that come with being a doctor. There's a real beauty to being in relationship with families in the way that I get to be. And you can't really, I think people can sense phoniness.
Sure.
And so I think my families really value the authenticity that I bring. And they value that, I think, from kind of, you know, anyone that they're interacting with. So I really see my home life as a way of helping me to then bring my full self into my job. Absolutely.
That makes sense because, yeah, I mean, I know you do work that is quite demanding, quite relational. Like, you know, show up for these families sometimes as they're facing medical crisis, you know, at times, right? And and so you've got to be on, but in such a way where you want to be sincere, you know, and like grounded. I think you even use the word, and that comes from your home. That makes a lot of sense. Let's like keep playing with this idea because I think there's something true about like home being a centering, remembering who you are kind of place for people. What is that? Yeah, how does that show up for you? What does that look like for you to be intentional about like being at home in a way that you really can be your authentic self? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I think you asked, I don't know if you want to get to this part us to think about our most prized possession. And I thought about one of my most prized possessions is a photo. It's a commissioned painting of my grandmother. And my grandmother passed when I was quite young, but she had this profound impact on me in such a way that it has completely shaped who I am as a human. I would not be who I am without her impact and influence. I would not be a pediatrician. Like, just if you think about kind of the most pivotal thing that could impact your life, she was that for me. And she is on the center mantelpiece in my home. And so when you walk into our house, I don't know that you've been here since we hung it, but when you walk into our house, the first thing you see is her face. It's right above our fireplace. And it's quite powerful because I get to see her every single day. My daughter will get to grow up seeing her. And I feel like her presence just kind of creates the, the essence of what my home feels like, if that makes sense.
Wow.
And that she gives me, that was such, you know, your childhood, there's so much, those relationships and things that happen in childhood are so crucial in kind of the foundational aspects of who you are.
Yes.
And that just provided a lot of confidence and security, my relationship with her. And so I feel like I have all of that with my home.
Yeah.
You know, I've been able to take that and now I get to impart that on my daughter. And I get to take that and impart that with my patients. I today had a patient who was 7 years old, a seven-year-old little girl who I was meeting for the first time. And her mom really wanted to establish care with me because her daughter's Black and she wants her daughter to have a Black, ideally female-identifying provider. And so, but it was so beautiful to basically then ask her questions in a way to help her feel seen and to really try to instill that confidence in her even in our brief visit. And I feel like I've become even more intentional with that now that I have a daughter, and just remembering kind of who helped cultivate that in me. And so I carry that with me, and I feel like my home, I hope that my home kind of exudes that, and that people can kind of feel that when they come into our home, and when they kind of get to talk to me and be in community with me.
I love that. Gosh, what a robust, example of like the substantial things. Like, you know, in this instance, it's this picture of your grandmother, mm-hmm. right? This painting of your grandmother hanging on your wall that is this real symbolic reminder of where you've come from, who you want to be in the world.
Absolutely.
And yeah, you get to see that every single day because it's displayed in your home. And gosh, how cool. And then I love like even the connection too. And today I got to do that for somebody. I love that.
Yeah.
When you think about like your grandmother's example, you know, early on in childhood, how she was with you, and the way that that's, that influenced you, do you have any particular memories of like, being with her, you know, being home with her, you know, like visiting her, whatever that looked like, that seemed to, I don't know, like, are there any memories coming to mind that like really encapsulate that for you?
Yeah, I think memories come, but also what comes most strongly is the feeling. So I still remember how I felt. And I think she always made me feel seen. So I come from a very large family. My dad was the oldest of 10.
Wow.
And I'm the middle child of 7. So, you know, there's lots of people running around. And as the middle child, I felt like, I don't know, I don't want to be cliche, but I was kind of like that cliche middle child where I was like a little bit like, I'm not here. I'm just over here, you know? And so I often felt, you know, like that invisibility, I guess, of a middle child in some ways. And she just always helped me feel seen in a way that was truly like, I see you, you know, and I want to know you. She was just a force. She was a force. And she did that for everyone, not just me. Like all of my siblings will say the same thing. My cousins will say the same thing. We actually, Riley, or my husband, his name is Riley, he got her photo from my cousin who gave it to him.
Cool.
And it's beautiful because it looks like a garden. He drew her, he painted her, and we just moved into this home and he knows how I feel about our garden. And so he completely transformed the photo. Her shirt looks like a garden and her background, it looks like she's like my garden. It's so beautiful.
Wow.
I just felt that I felt really seen with her. And I felt like the activities that we did, whether it was she took us to McDonald's every single Sunday after a church service to get the swirl, the ice cream cones. And it was so fun because we were riding with Grandma to get our ice cream cone. And it was just our Sunday ritual. And her hugs, obviously her hugs, they were the best. So, I just really remember those really beautiful, beautiful moments with her.
That is so wonderful. And even just as you're highlighting what those things are, it's a hug, it's a trip to McDonald's for ice cream. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, those kinds of things that over a long term add up to this sense of I am with you, I see you, you know, I care about you as an individual, right? Gosh, that is so beautiful. I'm so glad that, you know, you got to have that in such a way also where you are now inspired to pass that along to other people as a mother and through your work as well. Now, I want to kind of keep playing at the, like, work physician, you know, you're a doctor angle on this.
Yeah.
Because I imagine, like, I know it's true for me and probably for plenty of people, but the idea of your home as a place to care for your physical health, right? So that you're not sick, you're not mentally scrambled, you're whatever it might be, you know.
Sure.
What comes to mind you know, and not getting into medical advice, but if sure. you feel like you want to get into medical advice, feel free. I can't do that. You're allowed. You're a doctor. But like, what are the, even just like ideas, things that you care about, things that you do that are to help create health for you or for other people? What comes to mind?
For sure. There's so much power in a walk. And just taking a walk. I did acupuncture a lot before I conceived. And my acupuncturist shared with me, you know, even if you can't, you know, get on the Peloton or find a gym, and like this is through COVID, so things are open and not open, you know. And so we like on the Peloton train and bought our Peloton that we don't use anymore. But you know, it's great when you can do it, you get that energy high. But I think there's like a lot of power in just being out in nature and just going to like your local park or, you know, going for a walk around your block, in your community. And just like smelling the smells, even though all of them might not smell pleasant. And seeing the colors and breathing, you know, the air. I think that that's actually really obviously great for your physical health, your mind health. It just helps really regulate sleep. Like, you know, there's so much power in a walk. So I think that's been really like powerful for me, because I've been able to do that before being pregnant, while I was pregnant, after pregnancy. I can take my daughter out on a walk. It actually like helps to just break up my day if I'm feeling like I have all this stuff to get done and like we're both tired but we're not ready to go to sleep. It's like, let's just go for a walk, you know? So I think that's been kind of a really good go-to for me.
That's so great. And I think a walk is a great way to turn, you know, what you, I think it has a way of like helping your home kind of spill out into your surrounding environment in really helpful ways where, you know, you're, it's not limited to your house, your apartment, you know, for whoever, whatever kind of setting a person might live in, like these spaces around actually end up, you know, it's like the shared home in the community, the street, the park, all of that. And, I just love like the thought of, and the value of home, kind of being nurtured by getting out, taking a breather, taking a walk and all that. So, okay. So that's like a great thing for us to think about if we're going to care for our health, cultivate health in our lives.
Sure.
All right. So we've kind of covered some of the angle of like what makes for a good home, home experience, a healthy home, all of that. Now I want to explore also the other side of it, which we all face from time to time, which is when homes kind of gone sideways, things aren't working. What does that look like, feel like in your experience?
Yeah, sure. I think busyness. Busyness is kind of, maybe we all feel it, but it's just, you just feel just really pressed, right? You feel like you don't have enough time for this, you don't have enough time for this, and you just, for me, I felt really disconnected in those moments, especially when I'm trying to really just make time for play. And that's something that I will say that I really admire about you and your wife. And just watching you two with your daughter and even with our nephews is that you all are so just like playful. It's so fun to watch. And I was like, yeah. And I think, you know, having kids is a way to kind of cultivate that. But sometimes it doesn't always happen, right? It's not like natural thing that happens once you have kids. So I just feel like, I guess I was listening to something. I don't know if it was a podcast or maybe like a little snippet on Instagram, but this someone was sharing about kind of what their child told them was the favorite thing that they do with their parent. And they compared their like male dad parent to their mom parent. And they said, daddy kind of does all these things. And then kind of mom didn't do those things. And the mom just kind of took it as like, when did I last make time to play? Not just like obviously to connect with my daughter or my child, but also to connect with myself and to connect with like being human and knowing that play is a part of that, right? It's a part of that experience. So I think it feels when my home life is not going so well, it feels like I'm missing that. Like I'm feeling like, gosh, why am I not playing? Or this feels really like ill, you know, it feels really yucky actually. And it feels like the antithesis of play, if that makes sense.
I see.
And then just with me now having this new perspective as a parent and seeing how like much joy I get out of it when I'm able to play and seeing how my daughter really enjoys that. I think, I'm like, well, I need to get on that more.
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And especially like, I think any person's goal for whatever they're doing, including when the times that they're home, they want to enjoy it and it to feel light and pleasant, you know. And obviously there's just going to be heavy times of life where that's just not available for us, and that's fine. And it's actually important to not make light of those moments.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, like, you know, it is valuable to think like, how can I intentionally cultivate a playful, delighted attitude and practice at home? So as you've been doing that, I know I heard you mention like, you know, taking care of your daughter is like part of what will prompt that for you. But what have you found is helpful for getting into that? Maybe to put it in a different way, breaking out of the kind of antithesis of play experience and getting into the play experience. What is helpful for you?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of doing it, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like, I think there's so much to keep you from doing it, right? There's like, I have to grocery shop, I have to do this, and these are things that are important, right? We're adults, like we have responsibilities. But also like being silly, making silly noises with your child and faces and just like dancing, having a random dance, like, you know, like I'm just gonna start dancing. And for me, I love singing, and I used to sing to my daughter a lot when she was newborn. She had colic. And I just stopped singing to her. And like recently I've been singing to her again, and she's like, you know, she smiles, she engages with it, she's like starting to bob a little bit, and I'm like, she actually really enjoys this, you know. And so it's just bringing that into my world again, like the music, the creativity, and that of just again dancing whenever, and keeping it really simple, like all you need is like your phone, you know, just keep it simple.
Toss on a track and start singing along and goof around and dance, right?
Exactly.
Like, that is so good. I'm reminded my mom, I remember her telling me after we had our daughter, she was just like, as soon as your baby starts like smiling, that's gonna be all you're like living for. You're just gonna like keep trying to make that happen. And I do think like there's something specifically about having the audience of a kid that almost like it pulls play and goofiness and silliness and stuff out of you in a different way, right? Is that you? What you experienced too?
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
For sure.
And I'm just going with it.
Oh, that's so fantastic. That's so good. Because like so much of adult life is like busy, serious, get work done, you know, check the boxes of the to-do list to get the logistics in order and all of that. And that's the world of grown-ups. That's not that. There's not a thing about that in the world of kids and especially babies, right? I love that you are doing that for your daughter, my niece, and also like it just pays dividends to have fun. And I'm reminded of your gratitude practice too. Like it feels like in the same vein of like you know, put the busyness down, put the hurry down, and instead take a moment to be grateful, to enjoy, to play, to have fun. Oh, that sounds so good. So that's great. So I'm having a blast having this conversation. Are any, you know, any thoughts kind of coming to mind for you as we're thinking about home? Any new things occurring to you that you're like, oh man, this is an interesting idea. I'd like to keep exploring this. What comes to mind?
Kind of out of this conversation or in general?
Yeah, maybe in your reflection on home, kind of leading up to this conversation and during this conversation.
Yeah. I think, first of all, it's incredible that you're doing this. I think it's kind of this unspoken thing that everyone, you know, you kind of have a home for the, most part. And we spend so much time in our homes. And I think just like, even as I was reflecting and as I was answering the questions and the prompts for preparing for this interview, it just really just seemed kind of like revelational, if that makes sense. Like, I just felt like just this simple practice of even like calling to mind these things about our homes. And it's not something that I personally think about in my everyday life. You know, it's almost like my home is like air, you know, it's like, it's just there, right? I exist in my home. I think, you know, we kind of can all, you know, relate to maybe doing some of these things that we don't know that we're doing, to create the spaces that we live in a way that helps us go out into the world, you know? And so I really have just appreciated like even the preparatory process for this interview and just you kind of embarking on this journey of like interrogating this. And you know, listening to the episode so far, I'm a fan. I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but I'm being really sincere in this when I say it's kind of incredible. And it's really kind of like, for me, after, you know, we do this, after this interview is out and kind of, you know, it's over, I think I will bring these reflections of my grandmother, of how I am with my patients, of how I'm then trying to pass it on to my daughter. And knowing that, like, I am doing okay, you know, I don't have to be so hard on myself, especially like being a new mom and having so much information out in the world and so much. Like, I, as a pediatrician, I'm like, the first thing I tell my family is, it's okay if you don't Google. It's okay not to Google, but if you do, we can talk about it, right? Because there's just so much information, and it's just kind of like overwhelming, right? And sometimes you feel God, am I doing it right? Am I not doing it right? Can I be doing it better? What can I be improving? Like, constantly. Like, I'm reading this book about basically being a recovering perfectionist.
Yes.
And I didn't consider myself to be one, but I am. But essentially, like, I am reflecting after this, realizing that, okay, I'm probably doing okay, right? And it's okay to just, like, not saying that my life is like this all the time, but finding those moments to enjoy, and finding those moments to just, like, take a pause and take stock, is really nice. So I think that's what I'm taking away from this.
I love it. I'm so glad to hear that. And I honestly wasn't fishing for compliments when you told me about your appreciation for this podcast and the process of prepping for it. But I am glad to hear that. I do hope that it helps any of my guests and anybody listening. You know, that's why I do it. That's really good to hear. And I love that you now have like maybe a few extra things to hold on to with a little bit more clarity. For example, about your grandmother's example in your life and the importance of that that image hanging, you know, in your home of her and what it represents to you, right? Like that's so cool. And I'm sure your daughter and your patients are going to benefit from even having that in that space. So that's so cool. As we're wrapping up here, first of all, just thank you for being an awesome guest on this. It's also just fun to get a reason to interact and have a long conversation with you, Thelben. So thank you so much for that. It's heartwarming. I appreciate it. And now, like, you know, I know you're up to lots of stuff and, you know, taking care of things and along with your family and professional and everything. But what are the sort of things you're working on? And if people are listening to this, they're like, oh, I'd love to be in touch with Thalben. How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, I think I'm most accessible on Twitter. And I think you're going to kind of put my Twitter stuff out there. But love connecting through a Twitter platform. I've done a lot of creative writing, so you can find me on Doximity, kind of doing medical type creative writing. And then I've kind of done some other creative writing tucked away, but if you Google me, you'll find it. And yeah, just kind of, on social.
I love it. Great, great. Well, I'll grab those links. I'll put them into a blog post that you can find in the notes of this podcast in the description for it, so that there's a clear, easy place to find it. You'll also find Thalben's written responses, like, because as she said, I asked people to kind of like prepare ahead and write some things down just so that they're, you know, clear on what the sort of things that they might want to say while we record. So you're going to see some of her written answers, which might get into even more things that we didn't cover in this episode. So if you want to read more, you can find that there. Lastly, as we're finishing up, this is a project of Home Life Design Lab, which is my kind of umbrella project for this exploration around home, trying to do like global research to help us think about home from as many angles as possible, across borders, across nationalities, from people walking very different kind, different paths in life. And what might be the things we actually have in common that are human about our desire for home and how we create it in intentional ways. So if that's something that, you know, even as I'm describing that, you're just like, hey, I'm interested in that, I would urge you to go to homelifedesignlab.com so you can sign up for the newsletter, which will keep you aware of the many things that I'm doing, exploring that. And also, for example, what I recently did was I ran a workshop on work and home boundaries, helping people find boundaries between their work and their home. Because as I've been doing this research, I've been finding that a lot of people have a lot of trouble with that, it turns out. So I put together a workshop, and I'll be putting together plenty more things to help serve people's pursuit of like a really great home life. So please sign up for that newsletter. Consider becoming a premium subscriber to that and to this podcast in order to support the ongoing work of this. And also, you'll unlock some extra perks, which you can read about more in the show notes. So please take a look at that. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. Thank you again, one last time, to you, Thalben, for being an awesome guest on it. And until next time, everybody.